Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio Network. Talk radio to spark your curiosity, illuminate your spirit, and fire you up into action right now, right here, and every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This month is continuing our month of love, and I have today two special guests. We have Julie Metzger, who is an RN, and Rob Lehman, who is an MD, who have spent decades talking to thousands of adolescents and pre-adolescents. I think that would be a nightmarish job, but they like it. The focus of today's program will be.
World.
No, I have these things too. I have an adolescent and pre-adolescent, and they're fun to talk to. I'm just joking. So the focus of today's program will be giving parents all the important information and resources that they need so that they can have great conversations with their teenagers or preteens about sex and relationships. So thank you guys for coming here. I'm so excited to like find out more about my children and what they're going to be headed for or what I'm being headed for. Thank you for coming.
Sure.
Pleasure.
So I wanted to start off with just getting a sense of where do kids nowadays get their information about sexuality? Rob, where do you think they get it?
Yeah, actually, teens start getting information about sexuality when they're babies. We all begin to learn by looking around us, and the ones they look at first are their parents. So the parents are role modeling sexuality in the broad sense. How do we relate to people of the same gender? How do we relate to people of the opposite gender from the word go? So by the time the kids get to even be preteens, they already have a very good sense in their mind about certain aspects of sexuality, at least in their family and their culture and their neighborhood. I think the next big place you would ask kids where they get it, besides the family, will be friends, and believe it or not, partners. A lot of people, as they grow up, will say, I learned a lot from my partner. But the friends in general will give them verbal information.
What kind of verbal information are they getting from their friends?
From friends, maybe not the most reliable. It'll be stuff that's passed on, including urban myths and good facts and things that are, in fact, incorrect. The media plays a huge role in this, the media in the broad sense. So that includes not only movies and TV, but also advertisements. Just a regular commercial will teach them something about sexuality, given how much sexuality is in it. Magazines, internet, it's sort of all around them. So they get their, for better or for worse, they do learn about sexuality that way, too. Schools, more and more, are have sexuality formal instruction around the country, for sure. And being a healthcare provider, I would like to think that they're getting some from healthcare providers, but actually we're kind of low on the list compared to the rest of them.
Yeah. So, Julie, tell me about... I mean, one of the things that Great Conversations emphasizes on your website and all your materials is that kids really want to hear about puberty and sex from their families. Can you tell us why?
Well, just building on what Rob has to say, you know, kids learn from experiences, but also by the examples that are in their lives. And the primary examples in their lives are their families. So kids look first to the people that have guided them from everything from table manners to how to drive a car. Part of the logistics of their lives are navigated by their parents. And so they look they look to see it, the most important examples in their lives. And I think parents sometimes underestimate their influence. I think as kids get older, they see that friends are getting more important, but that doesn't necessarily mean that in relationship parents are getting less important. It just means that your voice and your timing and those conversations might look different, but the influence can be the same. We also know, though, that kids who don't have strong families or places of parents who are good role models, we know that kids can feel connected to other strong role models as adults in other places and have an equal advantage of that influence, like being connected at school or a faith or community group where there's strong influence from adults there. Those can be supplemental to families that may have more chaos or disruption in them, and kids lean in on those adults to help navigate through some of the interesting messages from the culture.
Yeah, that would make sense. And it does make sense that they would learn from their parents. But I do think, I often wonder, you know, the Snoopies, when the Snoopy characters or the Charlie Brown characters, when any adult spoke, it's like, wah, 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 wah.
Right.
That's kind of what I think they hear. But it sounds like maybe they hear more than that.
Well, you know, sometimes it's the words that we use, but oftentimes what they're watching is the way that adults engage with each other. Really, sexuality, there's the act of having sex, but sex and sexuality is actually so much bigger than that. It's learning how to create intimacy. It's learning how to stand your post when it's not easy at 2 a.m. with someone. It's getting into an argument and then seeking forgiveness. It's creating relationships with people that are beyond a physical part or added on to a physical part. And so it's that kids are watching. It's not just a fact. They can get a fact about sex almost anywhere. They can pull it up on their phone that's in their back pocket. But what they're watching for is the breadth and the depth of what sexuality really is, both male and female. It's intimacy. It's being apart and connected to others.
Right. So it's the gender roles in the relationship that people have that they're looking for as much as how often are my parents having sex? Are they having sex? What does sex even mean? It seems like they're, is that right? That's what I'm hearing from you, is that it's almost like as if you did a pie chart, they're more interested in understanding the relationships, maybe even more so than the fascination with sex and what that's all about.
Well,
is that what you meant?
You had started off by saying, are we just going wah, wah, wah? And I think sometimes parents think that their job is to create the facts, that's what sex talk is. But really, it's how they live as adults, as sexual people with each other. And that means with both as their gender role, but also within the relationships, even with their own parents or their neighbors or caring for others or their own partners, so that kids look at that whole piece of how do you build relationship and then how do you build the physical part in. That's more than just a parent saying, let me make sure you understand the top 30 sexually transmitted diseases.
Right. Although you need both, right? But I understand what you're saying. There's so much more that's being transmitted through our role modeling than we probably even understand in our day-to-day interactions and how we live. So let's move the conversation on to great conversations and what really defines a great conversation. Julie, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the most fun pieces of research that's out there is actually right here in Seattle, Washington, at the University of Washington campus, where John and Julie Gottman have set up several interesting studies, one looking at marriages and what makes a great marriage, but also what makes resilient, interesting decision-making kids and what kinds of conversations go on in those families that are that help kids become good decision makers and resilient and interesting socially, and actually also can predict some of their academic performance. And a lot of that is related to the children being heard, feeling like they have been heard within a family, which means that when parents and kids are engaged in a conversation that has some interest and effectiveness in terms of how kids learn how to manage themselves, it's helping those kids be heard on an emotional level, and having the parents engage with those kids around who they are as emotional people. In other words, it's going beyond kind of a role that is just about the information and more about helping kids manage who they are as people as they navigate their worlds with friends and within teachers. And because kids are emotional people, so that it's learning and helping them be heard. A great conversation around sex is multidimensional. I almost think of it as like building a house where you have a ton of bricks, and each brick means something else, and you're building this house with a bunch of bricks. And so over time, you build a foundation of being a good listener or being...
Oops, you know what? I'm sorry to say we're being beckoned to a break. So more from Julie Metzger and Rob Lehman. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind, not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
So this may sound simple, but when you're planning a road trip, you have to figure out where you're going first. With the Take Shape for Life program, the destination is living life at optimal health. So what does that mean? It means more energy. It means less medications. And yes, it means losing the extra pounds, which is actually part of the getting there. Talk to a Take Shape for Life health coach who's been there. Listen to their story and their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
1230 WBLQ.
Hey, in case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Julie Metzger and Rob Lehman from Great Conversations. In this segment, talking about what your kids need to know, what we need to know about our kids to transition into adulthood. And we were just before the break talking about great conversations. And Rob, I wanted to hear your thoughts about what you think are the top three conversations we need to have with our kids.
Oh, it's so hard to narrow it down to three. It actually needs to be a continual conversation. But you know, if I could just speak particularly about the sexuality issues, it's really more when the conversations happen than exactly what they are. They need to be early. They need to be clear. The parent needs to express their values and expectations about sexuality. It's reasonable for the parent, and they may feel more comfortable, in fact, talking about some of the facts as they're also dealing with the emotions and behaviors around sex. A lot of parents classically would like to talk about pregnancy avoidance and delaying sexuality and delaying actual sexual behavior and how to avoid STDs and HIV. Those are usually top on a parent's list for what they need to talk about. Yeah.
And what are the top on the kids' list in terms of what they want to talk about?
Actually, some kids are as bad as uncomfortable as parents are in talking about sex. But The kids that do well are the ones where the parents do engage them, and I think they engage fairly well on attitudes and beliefs and expectations. Not only what does the parent believe, but why does the parent believe that? Why did the parent get that notion that that the kid should be responsible on a date, or why does the boy or girl need to let the parent know who they're with and where they're going, and why does the parent care? So those sort of conversations, the kids really do want to hear about not just what I can and cannot do, but why, and why do you believe that? I think that's really important.
Right. They just don't want, they don't want just the boundaries. They want to know, well, what's the reason? Why can't I be out till, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning? Or
right.
Is that, yeah, okay. When you said early, what, how early is early? Is it based on your kid's interest? How, when would you start talking to them?
As a pediatrician, I believe that sexuality and education by the parents should begin when they take the kid home from the hospital. I mean, really, it needs to be, again, the kid is very observant and watching what a parent does, and certainly when the child becomes verbal and can ask why questions, what is that? It's such an opportunity to discuss things in a more comfortable way, and it also is an opportunity to make communication difficult. So if a parent feels really awkward or uncomfortable with a baby, with a child, when they start to verbalize parts of the body, say when they're in a bath, that's a good example, is if the parent gets very uptight about talking about anything vaguely to do with sexuality, the child gets a message right then and there that, whoa, there's something different about this part, and maybe we can't talk about it. So that starts really early.
Oh, interesting. So I shouldn't cringe when I see little sexual explicit behaviors on TV. So that's actually giving them the wrong message, it sounds like.
Right. And actually, speaking of TV, it's a great moment for education by the parent. If parents could actually sit and watch the TV with their preteen or adolescent, you can, in essence, use the media to educate. It could be something as simple as an advertisement. Why did they use that attractive woman in the high heels and fingernail polish to sell that automobile? Just sort of discussions. See what's going through the kid's mind and tell them what's going through your mind. So it's, you can use that media opportunity.
So my curiosity is always when they have, you know, when there's the sex scene where someone's jumping on top of each other, even in The Simpsons, right? You'll see like, okay, it's time for mommy and daddy to be alone. And then I'm not really sure what to do. It's this kind of this awkward moment where I like get a snack or go away. What's a better way of dealing with it? What would the why question I would ask my kids to engage them in that process?
Right. Well, I think one way is to be very frank. We are all sexual beings, but we're all raised in our own families, neighborhoods, and belief systems. And if I am watching what I consider a too graphic a sexual program on TV and my kids in the room, I would be frank and say, whoa, that makes me kind of feel uncomfortable. Let me tell you why. I never saw that before on TV when I was growing up. And it also portrays something that I don't think is very real. I think this is something that happens on TV, and they're trying to get your attention. So I think it's the opportunity for the parent to express how they feel about the sexuality.
I love what Rob is saying there because, honestly, he's engaging without asking a question. You know, in other words, in that moment, when he just gave that example, he's just saying how he felt as the adult, and he's saying an observation that he says, which actually is very initiating, versus always saying, well, what did you think of that? Or it kind of puts people on the defensive. Sometimes the most powerful conversation comes exactly what Rob just did, which is, gosh, watching that made me feel uncomfortable. Stop talking, parent. It just allows, it actually initiates an opportunity for the teen or the preteen to go, me too. And then you get a chance to say, you know, let's go up together. or whatever. But I think it allows it to be initiated just by speaking of your own observation and your own thoughts.
Yeah, that is a great idea. Now, I wanted to circle back because one of the things that you emphasized earlier, Julie, and Rob mentioned too, is to talk to them at an emotional level. And what's happening emotionally, physically to their children's brains at this time that we need to know as parents?
We all can see the construction project that's going on the outside, right? Girls can grow 2 to 10 inches, gain 15 to 55 pounds between the ages of 8 and 13. They've got pimples. They've got greasy hair. All sorts of things are happening on the outside. But what is, relatively new for our understanding is how much their brains are under construction as well. And at about the time of puberty until their early 20s, their brain is under construction. And one of the ways that it definitely makes a part of this conversation that's important is that brain construction plus a hormonal element makes part of the work, not only managing the physical parts of who they are, but also their emotional lives. And I think not only are their lives more complex as they get older and there's new things to work out and deal with, hormones make almost like a volume dial up a bit, but generally their brains tend to act on more feelings than an adult. Mm-hmm. Adult is wired up to their prefrontal cortex. It allows them to kind of weigh the consequences of an emotional response that's different than a teenager. A teenager will always default without being otherwise wired to a more of an emotional or impulsive response. So part of the work of being a teenager is not only learning how to manage who they are physically developing, but also how their brains are being wired up to this computer in the front. And that work will require experiences and by adults' examples to get wired up in ways that are interesting.
We'll have to continue this conversation after the break. I'm sorry to interrupt because we have a station break. We're listening to Julie Metzger and Rob Lehman, experts on having great conversations with your teen about sex and puberty. I can't even say it, see? So if you want to know more about great conversations or listen to this and other shows, check it out at www.fireitupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind, not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our teen inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind body practice. IIQTC.org.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself?
but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
You're listening to Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio and Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
Hi, I'm CJ, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment, our experts Rob Lehman and Julie Metzger on what are the key things parents need to know about having a great conversation about sex with their teens. And I was having an interesting conversation with Julie about how during this period, in my particular case, I'm perimenopausal. I have a kid going through hormones, and there's a lot of emotions flowing around. And you made a really good point about how to deal with those emotions. Could you share that with the audience, Julie?
Sure. I think that part of it is that can be very dismissing to our daughters in those kinds of experiences is to say, oh, that's just hormonal, or disregard the emotions. Sometimes it's helpful to have those hormonal moments because you really realize what you really are mad about or what you feel sensitive about. And I think one of the greatest tasks that we have with our teenagers is to help them get those brains wired up and to learn how to manage and their emotions. So turning to your daughter and saying, well, I'm really sensitive today, but I'd really like to come back to this topic when I don't feel like crying or when I don't feel so angry about that. So would you be up for coming back to this idea tomorrow and let's talk it through? Because I'm not sure I'd be at my best today about that. Or I think part of it is speaking out loud and acknowledging that feelings are really central to who we are as expressive people, and they help us. That is what makes us human. But I think acting on every feeling and acting out on every feeling is part of what we're learning how to manage. And role modeling that with your children, and especially your daughter, by saying, gosh, that emotion is powerful for me, and I'm not sure that now would be a good time for me to act on that through my words because I feel so angry. But I'd like to come back in 3 minutes.
I love that idea.
3 days.
I need to be using that more often. It's really awesome. All right, so I wanted to go to something that you mentioned earlier, Rob. You had said that, you know, and it's really important to have the conversations with your kids early on, and that you need to set up clear sense of your values and expectations. And I assume like rules. Is that what you meant by expectations? And what are the rules that we need to set up in regards to sex and relationships? What are some of the key rules that we should be setting up with our kids?
I would set it up first on a pre-setup, which is why would I as a parent even care? Why would I want to make rules? And rules is a very loaded word, but why would I want to know where you are or what you're doing? And they should just say why, because my job is to keep you safe. That is my job as a parent. And that was my parents' job with me. And, in fact, it also helps to relate a little bit about how the parent may have dealt with that same issue with the grandparent. So what kind of rules did your grandparents have for me regarding sex and relationships? And now that I'm an adult, how do I think back on them? I think that's not a bad setup. Because what the parent has to say is one rule for me or one task for me, actually it's probably better, is I have to keep you safe, so that means I have to know what you're doing. I mean, I have to make sure you don't get into trouble, and I have to prepare you for all kinds of choices and events that's going to hit you up as you go through life and do this. I think the parent, as another thing, has to just be present in the kid's life. They have to still be present, even though it may seem like your son or daughter doesn't want you to be present very much. They really do.
Yeah.
And, it's a good opportunity to just sort of stay there and know what's happening in their lives and not necessarily be hovering, but in fact be caring by asking where they're going and what they want to do and what they have done.
Okay, so some of the things...
Not interrogating, but explaining, and I love what Rob had to say there about you're building this base of why it's important, which is different than an interrogation. And I think part of that is saying, hey, you're all about fun. I'm all about safety. How can we work together so you're guaranteed a minimum amount of fun or as maximum as we can get, and I'm guaranteed as much safety as we can get? Because it can't really probably can't be 100% of both.
Right. That's a perfect way of putting it. That's why you guys are at this group. I love these conversations. So some of the rules, though, that I heard you say before, who are they with? What kind of things that they do with who they're with? What other kind of things are probably, you know, and I understand the why, but what are some of the other kind of setup things that you probably want to have as kind of maybe not rules, but tasks?
Well, a good setup thing is actually to walk through scenarios with your son or daughter about what if. This goes not only for sexuality, but for drugs and alcohol and other high-risk behaviors that parents are terrified their kids might pursue. Kids are going to be faced with all sorts of choices, and it is much, much easier if the parents have gone over with them about, well, you know, what would happen if you went to this party and such and such happened? See if the kid has the skills and the resources to know what to do, and the parent can work with them, or ask the boy or girl, what, you know, how could I help you in such a situation if you find yourself in that scenario? So I think going through the high-risk scenarios before they happen is better than worrying about what happened after it did.
And are there certain common high-risk scenarios that you guys would suggest, or is it are those just dependent on your own personal fears as a parent?
Well, so remember that the idea here is to set a base of decision-making. Generally, you're trying to say, hey, when you feel uncertain about how this is going, or you get a gut sense that you're at a party and it's not going the way you need to, or certain elements are appearing, whether it's people or a substance or whatever that you're uncomfortable with, or we've talked about it as a family, you know, what kinds of temptations are out there? Why would people say yes? And what is it that would help you be able to say no or to delay your behavior? And I think kids really respond to that. I can get into interesting conversations with kids just even talking about the peer pressure of chewing gum, because it's fun and funny, and it doesn't have the stigma to it, but it helps you walk through. What goes through your mind when everybody else is chewing gum but you're not? Why does that matter to you? What are the risks at hand? And then when you up the ante of the substance, then you get an opportunity to explore, why does that feel different? Is it because the substance is more dangerous or because the friends are more attached to the behavior? I think part of it, I like the idea a lot of practice script, but I also think it's really important that parents don't set up a bunch of rules that they really can't enforce. What you're trying to do is explore not, I never want you to do that, but more like what I hope for you is, right? Because you're not going to be there. You're not in the back of the Impala with your senior in high school. You're not at every party. So what you're saying is, here's why this is important. Here's what we know about kids drinking. Here's what happens, you know, when kids engage with sex at an early age, and here's why it's important to us as a family to explore it out loud so you know what the risk is. You know what you're putting out on the table.
Got it. All right, I get it. So it's more like providing general guidance so that when, you know, because you never really know what they're going to face, but you have some general sense of like you're going to be put into a peer pressured situation where you're not feeling comfortable, whether it's chewing gum or sex or drinks, you know, or whatever. So one of the things that you mentioned in your website is having consequences for some of these things. What are some examples? I mean, are these consequences like when they're younger, or are they more as a result of this, you may get pregnant. That's a consequence. What were the consequences you meant when you mentioned that in your website?
The way I picture it is, you know, this is a developmental, if you picture your children as toddlers, you would have very clear rules, perhaps more rules, and very clear immediate consequences. And as your kids get older, they become more responsible for their lives, that it shouldn't feel like the rule list gets bigger and that the consequences get bigger. It should feel, in the end, like you're launching your children. So I think part of it is creating an understanding of a relationship that fits for their developmental space. You know, for an 8-year-old, a consequence for misbehaving might be to sit away from the activity for a while or to take a break from something. And you can use some similar ideas with teenagers, but it has to feel interesting and related. So some ways that it works for, let's say you've asked somebody to call or connect or be home by midnight, and that has not happened. I think part of your thinking is, can I pick a consequence that has meaning for that child that helps reflect that rules or that idea that what we committed to did not happen. And one of those is to say, hey, gosh, you came an hour, you know, late. I think you owe me an hour's of work in the yard, and we can, you know, talk through what are part of it. You owe me some time. I was worried for an hour. You didn't show up for an hour. Right. Now you owe me an hour time.
See these gray hairs that you created? You need to dye my gray hair.
Yeah.
That's going to be fine.
Yeah. Or, sometimes it's taking a break from the use of the car or another privilege where it's kind of a fit. But I find that taking away things doesn't always give the child then practice. I think sometimes grounding or taking away privileges gets old because you don't actually get a chance to then practice with the behavior again. I think sometimes it's when people owe me time, it's useful, it's helpful to me, and it gives people an idea that time is important, and they're contributing to the community that way.
Right.
Yeah.
The classic thing I hear from the kids is that they're grounded for the next century. It keeps getting added up, and it doesn't work anymore after a while.
That's not very interesting because they don't land up doing anything to contribute back towards the community, and I think part of it is that you've shown a disregard to the community.
Yes, and you know what? We're going to have to take a break because we are on that schedule right now. So more from Julie Metzger and Rob Lehman when we get back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters. Be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. CRA, Contact Reflex Analysis, is an energy assessment which translates human energy into information. This information provides me with the ability to identify your needs as a healer and to design a specific solution for you. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
1230 WBLQ. You're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on Stereo 1230 WBLQ and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm CJ Liu, and we're back, and we are going to put all this together. Rob and Julie are going to be demonstrating a great conversation and role-playing a great conversation that you have with your child. In this case, Julie is going to be the mom, and Rob is going to be the teenage boy that she's going to convince to put on a condom. Okay? Are you guys ready to play?
You know, one of the challenges here in and I think bringing it all together, it goes back to this idea that we're building a house, that mm-hmm. Anytime you're going to introduce something to your child, you hope that you've built a base of a conversation and you've built a place of safety and trust. I think that if you're sending your son out the door off on a date or the prom, let's say, and you're thinking to yourself, I need to say condom for the first time, that's a bummer because it's too much. You need to sort of build towards something or you haven't gained the trust and the respect, honestly, from your kids to kind of enter in this kind of idea. So I don't really think there's legitimate convincing if, as your kid is walking out the door, you mention it one more time. But if you're building towards something, you've said, hey, I know we've been over this before, and I just want you to know tonight it's all about safety for me. And that would mean respecting your date and each other. And I know that at the prom there's just a lot of outside noise from other people and from the event itself and their expectations. And I know you're a capable, responsible person, and I know you'll think it through because we've been over that before, and I hope you have a fantastic time.
Thanks, Mom. Bye.
There's this great Zitz cartoon where Jeremy, the teenager, is leaving out the door. And his dad says, have fun at the party. And his mom says, have a great time. And he turns to his friend and he goes, see, they're always telling me what to do. You know, I think this is where if you're giving your last minute instructions as kids are walking out the door, you've missed, they don't hear that. They've already decided what their behavior is going to be.
So what's the first conversation you're going to have with your son in that particular case? If, you know, because since, you know, you don't want to be, here's what I'm hearing you say, you don't want to be right before they walk out the door having the condom conversation. So what would the first conversation look like?
You want to be able to say, have fun, and know you're a capable, amazing person. I know you have a great time. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Right. I think also is forget the whole idea of a birds and bees talk in the traditional sense. As a preteen or a teenage boy or a younger kid, even more so, I don't want to sit or endure a 1 or 2 hour conversation about all this with my parent. It's way too uncomfortable. So Julie and I will tell parents, think of 200 one-minute conversations about all this rather than 1 200-minute conversation.
You have to remember, too, that when you're 12 and you hear the word condom, you don't know that it has an entirely different meaning and context for you when you are talking about a condom at 15 and then at 18 and then at 25.
Right.
It's you have a developmental change even on a single word like that. And so not only can you ever check it off, hey, we talked about condoms when he was back at 12, right? So he knows everything there is to know. He's a completely different person at 15 and then at 18 and then at 25. It's a different kind of conversation, but you're adding on to this brick. You built this foundation and the bricks continue to be mortared together.
Right.
So what's a one-minute conversation you have at 12, 15, and 18?
Well, my conversation at 12 might be that I just got back from the sex ed class that was mandated in my school, and my mom may ask, so, you know, what'd you learn in school today? And if I'm willing to talk to her about it and feel comfortable about it, I may, feed back some of the things that I learned about. HIV is a bad thing to get, and condoms can be one way to prevent getting them. As a 12-year-old, I'm going to be more concrete than anything, and the world's going to be more black and white than full of grays. When you get to 15, I'm going to begin to see, there are some issues with condoms. Like, where do you actually get one? How do you actually use a condom? When I'm 18, I should know that stuff, but I'm going to begin to question on a higher level. I heard that condoms are not 100% effective, or that there are other or better ways to do this or that. So the younger kid is more concrete, more black and white on what they see. The older kids are going to see all kinds of arguments and begin to question what they have heard before in a good way.
A 12-year-old could easily think, well, I just won't have sex then. That HIV sounds too dangerous, so concrete, that you'll just say it's black or white. But as you get 15, you have different, you understand desire, you understand feeling drawn towards people in a different way. You understand why that might be more interesting to engage in that behavior. And then you begin to weigh the facts that you know about a condom. And like Rob says, but you also learn the grayness about it versus it not being so black and white. And then you've got really interesting conversations with your kids because they see that it isn't so black and white. That's why it's important that you always tell kids why it is that you're hoping for them that they, about their behavior versus saying just don't do it. When you say just don't do it, they see kids having sex without getting HIV. They see kids having sex without getting pregnant. It's helpful to explain it in a larger, broader picture as they become more abstract thinkers and they see more what's going on around them, then they have more of a base and the conversation looks different.
So we have one more minute, and I want you guys to wrap up if there's anything that you're like, you know what, here's the one, here's the one thing that I absolutely want to tell everyone. What would it be for you, Julie, and what would it be for you, Rob? We have 1 minute piece.
Go ahead, Julie.
I think sometimes parents think their job is to change their kids. I think sometimes teenagers help us, the parents, become better people. And part of the fun of the conversation is engaging with them, hoping that you both are growing.
Mm. How about you, Rob?
And for me, it's We're in a new age. When I work with parents, I'm working with a group of people who did not have their parents talking to them in the general sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all learning, and the kids need to know that they're not the only ones growing. The parents are too. And the parents are learning how to talk to their kids, hopefully in this generation, better than we ever had. That's what we try to do, is help the parents and the kids do that together.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I've learned a ton as a parent, and just hearing you role model the stuff has been fantastic. So, folks out there, check out www.greatconversations.com. Thank you so much, Julie Metzger and Rob Wing. This has been really fantastic. I just feel so much better prepared as a parent.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, so
next Thursday I'm Fired Up with CJ, and starts our March Madness month, and we're going to have Bruce Brown from Proactive Coaching, helping your child reach your full potential and excellence on and off the field. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.